Hockey Insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Simon Slickus, Mitch Gallo, and Jimmy Garofalis. This is Melick in the Afternoon, every single day at 5:05. Lucky enough to be joined by NBC hockey analyst Pierre McGuire. Pierre, good afternoon.
How you doing, Simon? Nice to visit with you.
Very well. Happy Thanksgiving, sir. Hope you're enjoying this lovely day.
Yeah, it's great. Getting ready for the NHL season to start. It's exciting. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Mitch Gallo and all the listeners.
Great stuff. We wake up today and kind of sucks for, you know, we're right upon the NHL season. The Pittsburgh Penguins coming back as defending Stanley Cup champions, and news breaks out of Pittsburgh that last Friday during practice, Sidney Crosby, not sure exactly the details, but without question, he has been concussed again. How does this going to play out for the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby?
Well, I can tell you they're one of the most proactive organizations. It goes back to when Ray Shero was a general manager, and they were battling through a lot of concussion-related situations there, starting with Sidney and then moving forward with some other players like Brooks Orpik and Evgeny Malkin. And they became extremely proactive in terms of concussion situations and protocols. The doctors have changed there, and they've been really aggressive too. So I just think more than anything else, they're going to be very, very cautious, and they're not going to put him back on the ice till he's ready to go back on the ice.
Pierre, where do you think the NHL is, ownership and the clubs, when it comes to their concussion protocol? I know it's hard because, you know, you're not involved with Major League Baseball, but you are part of the NBC family, and I'm sure you have discussions with some of your colleagues. I know where the NFL stands on this, but if you were to look at the NHL as a whole, where are they on their concussion evaluation and protocol?
I think they've made significant improvement over the last 15 years, but in particular, probably the last five. And now we're at the point where we actually have spotters sitting in buildings to try to evaluate and then make sure that there's a protocol in terms of players going to the dark room and trainers being very much aware of all the different situations that surround concussion. So I think they're far more advanced than they were 5 years ago, and if you go back 15 years, it's apples and oranges, so much better prepared.
Pierre, what do you make of the fact that Coach Mike Sullivan wanted to keep the details as to how it happened during practice, what he calls in-house?
I think that's wise. I mean, it's nobody's business, really. You have to make sure that you understand everything. Maybe Mike doesn't even understand everything right now. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. They've done a lot of things right. And one of the things that I really liked about them last year is they made sure that they came together as a group. When Mike took over the team, you could have not had a more fractured group. I'm telling you, December 12th, when he took over last year, that was a fractured group. He got them together and he got them to believe, and they've done a lot more things right than they've done wrong since Mike Sullivan's taken over as head coach there.
Simon Slickus in for Mitch Melick with Mitch Gallo and Jimmy Garofalis in conversation with Pierre McGuire.
And Pierre, just before we get to the Montreal Canadiens news of the day, sticking with the Crosby theme for a second, is it fair to say that the World Cup of Hockey is the best that he's looked since before his concussion issues? I know he was really good in the playoffs too, but he looked like he was almost regaining that form as to how he was playing before the concussions, and then this hits again.
I think it's a great point. I think there's a lot of merit to that, Mitch. I really do. He was a dominant player. Ask Mike Babcock. Ask the guys that play with him, Bergeron or Marchand, what they thought. Try playing defense against him. I mean, the guy was a whirling dervish. He was all over the ice. He was dominating with the puck. He wasn't deferring to other players. He was better in the World Cup than he was during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Pierre, let's get to some of the local news here today with the Canadiens. Mikhail Sergachev and Artturi Lehkonen have been added to the Canadiens roster. They'll be here on opening night. First, let's start with the young Russian defenseman. Okay, so I know that everybody wants to talk about him playing maybe 8 or 9 games and not burning an NHL year. But Pierre, this is my theory. This is my philosophy, and you let me know if I'm off on this. If he happens to be a good player and can play at this level, is it such a big deal to burn a year in one of his contract years? And the examples that I use, if he's going to be a stud like everybody expects him to be, Well, I think Victor Hedman's going to be a Lightning forever, and Kopitar is going to be a King forever. And you look at all the great players around this league, like Aaron Ekblad, I expect him to see him in a Panthers uniform for the next decade at least. So why is there this such concern about burning a year for a player that this year may happen in 10 to 12 years from now?
Oh, people are concerned about cap-related issues. People get concerned about arbitration rights. People get concerned about having comparables that might blow your salary cap out of the water. I mean, there's a lot of things that guys are worried about. All that being said, you and I are probably on the same team, Simon. If you have more than enough talent to play in the league, and Sergachev clearly does, it comes down to whether he's going to be able to hang in there with the schedule. But if you're going to keep him around and play him. I mean, that's what you have to do. It worked out pretty darn well for Peter Svoboda. I think he played in the league when he was 18 in Montreal. So you can do it. I had Pronger at 19. Pronger was fantastic as a 19-year-old. I understand why teams worry about that, but if you have a guy that's a franchise player, a franchise-type defenseman, there shouldn't be that worry. And then you don't have to worry about bridge contracts because you had the bridge contract with Subban, and that's part of the reason why you got into trouble.
It's fun for a coach to give up the big news because, you know, those kids, you know, this is what they dream to play in the NHL. They come to Cannes, they get that little extra pressure about trying to performing as their best of their abilities.
There's Coach Michel Therrien earlier today, and Pierre, you mentioned getting the opportunity to coach Chris Pronger at 19 years old. Can you tell us what is that moment like for a coach when he gets to tell a kid that his dream of being an NHL player is now going to be realized?
It's a lot better than telling a kid that his dream is over. I can tell you that, because I've had to do that more than tell kids that the dream's alive. It's great. It's an awesome feeling. I'm sure it's great for the player. I think there's a lot to it. More than anything else, it's about the kid that done all the work, and they're not going to be overmatched physically. I think that's, of all the things you worry about when you give that news, the one thing that you got to make sure of is that you didn't rush him and the player's not overmatched physically. Because once they start to get overmatched physically, their confidence gets destroyed.
Pierre, I understand what he's going to get on the ice, and we're all going to be able to break down the film of him playing 8 or 9, 10, 12, whatever the number is for Sergachev. But what about just, let's say he does stick around for 9 games. Can you talk about a little bit of, you know, how he grows as a man and how he becomes an NHLer off the ice? I like the fact that he's going to be up here for a while. I like the fact that he's going to fly on nice planes and go to nice restaurants and play the role of a big leaguer. I think that's something that, you know, when you're watching this game as a child, and yes, of course, you want to play in the NHL, but also the lifestyle, from what I've heard, is pretty good as well. So how about him maturing off the ice, having him around the big club?
Well, it's fantastic, but this is where, as a coach, you may have to go to somebody. Now, you got to understand, it's a different NHL than when I was coaching in it. Players now, past a certain age of seniority, get to have their own rooms on the road. So they don't have roommates anymore, a lot of these guys. And that's usually how young ones broke in. I can tell you a case in point. I went to the late Brad McCrimmon when he was playing for him. I said, I'd really appreciate it if you take Pronger under your wing, and I'd love for you to live with him and teach him the ways of the National Hockey League. And he said, absolutely. But then again, Brad couldn't get his own room. Now Shea Weber's entitled to his own room. Markov's entitled to his own room. Yemelin's entitled to his own room. That makes it hard. You know, and now you got to go to those guys and say, hey, do you mind taking this kid under your wing? Maybe you can be his roommate. You know, and that's the different part of it. But again, this is where J.J. Daniels got to pay attention to a lot of things, too, as a guy that runs the defense and make sure the kid's not overmatched and looked after all the time.
Simon Seligas in for Mitch Melnyk. This is Melnyk in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Jimmy Garofalos and Mitch Gallo.
And, of course, the other rookie that made the team today, Pierre-Arturi Lehkonen. It looks like he's going to start at least with Plekanec and Radulov. Do you think he can be that solution to the Canadiens' search for a second-line player?
This is going to be the ultimate test for him, because one of the things that he held as a little bit of a power bar is that he couldn't be sent to the American Hockey League. He was going to have to be sent back to Sweden and for Lunda. So he had a little bit more artillery than a lot of young players. I think the big physical test for him will be dealing with time zone travel and dealing with the hitting. If he can deal with those two things, he's got more than enough skill to play as a second-line player.
now when the actual season starts, that's going to be more stressful because now you play to win, like you win as a team and you lose as a team. So I got to really step it up and show that I can play in the NHL and also that I can produce in there also.
Terry Lehkonen joining at the TSN 690 media today. Pierre, if you could just walk me through his first shift in an NHL game, what's the first thing that he's going to realize, my goodness, I got to go get my big boy pants on? Is it going to be the speed or is it going to be the physicality?
I think when you're standing there, I remember standing on a bench as a coach in the NHL the first time, and you're standing around and you're looking around and all these faces that you used to see on TV and all these buildings that you used to watch be full, you're standing there and then you realize you got to start making decisions. I think for a player, and I went through it only in the exhibition season, not in regular season as a player, you stand there and you wonder, okay, where is the first big hit coming from? What do I have to do to capitalize on my opportunity? And I think for him, probably more than anything else, it'll be the smaller ice, because he hasn't really played on it. And getting used to the smaller ice will probably be the most difficult thing.
One player the Canadiens did not make the club, he's being sent out to St. John, is Michael McCarron. Pierre, he's going to go out there, and you would hope that he plays well. He dominates the American Hockey League. And like any young player who gets cut from a big squad, in whether it's basketball or baseball, you want to go back and you want to be that first call-up. You want to be, when they call, you want to be the guy they're asking for. But what about off the ice? Is the coaching staff in St. John's, are they monitoring the body language, whether, you know, he's content, he's sulking? Do they keep an eye on stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. The coaching staff will pay attention to it. The general manager of the team down there will pay attention to it. The scouts that get sent down there and track the team, they'll pay attention to it. The number one thing, if Michael's listening to this right now, the number one piece of advice I'd give him, play every shift like you're an NHL player. Dominate like you're an NHL player. Have an NHL attitude. Do not be condescending or rude to your teammates or coaches or trainers, and you'll be back in the NHL for good. You got to go down there and pretend it's almost like graduate school, and you're going down there to learn just a little bit more so you can enhance your job possibilities going forward. And if he goes down there and does all those things that I just mentioned, I think he's got a legitimate chance to come back to the NHL and never go back to the AHL.
And Mike Condon, Pierre, was placed on waivers today by the Canadiens. No surprise after they acquired Al Montoya in free agency. I was also maybe a little bit surprised to see Andras Pavlich on waivers as well. I don't know if that affects the Condon situation at all. Do you see anybody claiming Condon? And specifically, do you think San Jose is in the market for a backup goaltender?
Well, they might be now because Reimer obviously has moved on to Florida. It's a great question. San Jose was the one place I was thinking about. The one thing I would tell you about San Jose, they've got a tremendously smart infrastructure built in the Boston area and the prep school and college area. If you look at some of the players that they've had play for them, Condon played at Belmont Hill. He went to Princeton. Timmy Burke is their chief scout. Timmy would have a book on him 10 miles long. So I would say if Condon were to be picked up, I would think that San Jose might, and I stress might, be one of the teams. But the thing with Pavlich is kind of interesting. The money's the only thing that I think would scare teams away on him.
Right. And do you think it was any coincidence that I saw Larry Robinson at every game that Mike Condon played at the Bell Center?
No. But there, yeah, no, Larry... San Jose's so plugged in, and Larry's extremely good. I mean, no, it wouldn't surprise me, but I bet they were looking at a bunch of guys, not just Mike Condon.
Pierre, if I would have told you, let's say 3 months ago, about 3 months ago, if I would have told you that the Edmonton Oilers would trade Taylor Hall, Nail Yakupov, and for Adam Larson and conditional draft picks, what would you have said?
I knew they were trading Taylor Hall. It was just a matter of, you know, where was he going to go? New Jersey stepped up and made a really good offer. Adam Larson's a much better player than most fans know, only because he's a nondescript kind of a player, just gets the job done. They'll love him at Edmonton. They really will. In terms of Nail Yakupov, you knew he was going to be out. It was just a matter of when and where and what was the value going to be. The value wasn't very high because it hasn't been a very good start for him. He's a kid that was rushed into the NHL. The expectation level was way too high. They burned through, I think, three different coaches over the time that he was there. So it's, you look at it all, that's why he failed in Edmonton, but I think he's got a real good chance to be very solid in St. Louis.
Are you a little bit surprised that for what Yakupov was traded for? When it came across the wire, I just thought that the draft pick would be a little bit higher, maybe a prospect as well. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like, I don't know, I'm watching this play out, and you see what St. Louis offered. Find it hard to believe that a team like the Chicago Blackhawks, who can take the...
They were in it.
Yeah.
Chicago was in it. Chicago was definitely in it, I can tell you that. Part of the problem, though, is you got to remember they've been decimated by salary cap issues. They don't have that much internal depth. They're hoping that Schmaltz can make it, a kid out of North Dakota. They're hoping Ryan Hartman can become a viable prospect. I mean, I know their players. I know their team unbelievably well. I'm going to do their opening night game tomorrow. The game is on Wednesday. But that, all that being said, Yakupov, I mean, he hasn't done much. I mean, that's the problem. Just because a guy was a first overall pick doesn't mean you're going to get unbelievable compensation because he's failed so far in the league.
Yeah, and I guess his best days were the short period of time that he got to play with Nathan MacKinnon last year. He actually looked good when he was out there together. You think the deal didn't play out with Chicago simply because Chicago was trying to flip some salary onto the Oilers?
That part I don't know. That's a good question, and it's fair, Simon. I just don't know the financial part of it, but I know they were definitely in it.
You think the Canadians would have been interested just considering the fact that Mark Bergevin must have watched Yakupov a lot in Sarnia?
Because of Galchenyuk?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have been. You know, again, sometimes it comes down to fit and dollar value, too. You know, and that's all these teams. And we talked, I'm going to keep talking about this a lot this year. I don't want to bore people, but expansion draft is going to be huge. And a lot of people are paying attention to that. So there's a lot of moving parts here when you talk about players being traded.
News out of Florida, unfortunate for them. Jonathan Huberdeau got his ankle sliced or cut out 3 to 4 months. Part of the young leadership core in that team, and you look at the summer where they lost a guy like Brian Campbell, kind of taps into that leadership core. Brian Campbell, part of the older guard last year. Jonathan Huberdeau, part of the younger guard. Now losing them both. And Aaron Ekblad, I would imagine he's going to play opening night from what I've read, but he had maybe a concussion at the World Cup. So how does this play out for the Panthers going forward?
Well, one of the biggest things they did before any of those deals was trading away Eric Gudbranson, who they were kind of targeting to be their next captain. Management changed. Dale Tallon left. Tommy Rowe came in, and one of Tommy's first moves was to trade Gudbranson to Vancouver. So you speak about leadership. There was another really powerful voice in that dressing room in South Florida. I feel terrible for Huberdeau. That injury is very similar to the one that Erik Karlsson had happen a few years ago in Ottawa. And so obviously it's really tough. It's one of those where you just say, oh, man, I hope he can get it back. But, Florida's going to be an interesting one to watch. Their ownership thinks they're ready to take a huge step. They better be.
And last one for you, Pierre. Bob McKenzie, TSN Insider, says that the Tampa Bay Lightning are close to getting RFA Nikita Kucherov signed to a new deal. How impressive has Steve Yzerman's work in Tampa Bay, considering he got the Stamkos deal done, he got the Hedman deal done, he got Drouin playing really well in the playoffs last year, now he's going to get Kucherov signed. I know they have other contract situations moving forward, but just your thoughts on Steve Yzerman's body of work.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I mean, I've been saying this for a long time. He's done a great job. The management team around him, with Julian Brisebois and Patty Verbeek, they've done a good job. I felt this way for a long time. I mean, I was right there with Yzerman to get it, and I'll never forget the call I got from the ownership. Mr. Vinnick said, listen, you know, Steve's coming off an Olympic gold medal, and he's getting the job. I said, I completely and utterly understand. You don't have to apologize to me. He's gone down there and done a great job. He's done a fantastic job. The way they dealt with the Stamkos contract is a perfect example of how to do a Stars contract and make sure there's no bad blood between the player and the team.
Pierre, thanks for taking the time. Always appreciated.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Great visiting with Simon. Mitch Gallo, talk to you tomorrow.